Thank you. rites that the Vedas ordain, and the rituals taught by the scriptures. All thee am I, and the offering made to the ghosts of the fathers, herbs of healing and food, the mantras, the clarified butter, I the oblation, and I the flame into which it is offered. I am the sire of the world, and this world's mother and grandsire. I am he who wants to eat the fruit of his action. I make all things clean. I am home.
Tino Diakimwezo giving us a soft landing there after the transcendental excursion from John Coltrane. Om, recorded in 1965, clocking in at over 28 minutes long. Opened up tonight's experiment with James Tenney, Spectral Canon for Conlon Nancarro. Some field recordings of Roma Songs, courtesy of Canary Records. Track was I've Got an Old Mother. And then going back to 2006, Screaming Females, opening track off of Baby Teeth, Foul Mouth. Crazy to think that track is almost 20 years old now. This is an experiment with time on WRCT Pittsburgh. Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP. Your child could be one of them. In fact, children in a family of four earning up to $80,000 a year may qualify. Income levels vary by state. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. For more information or to enroll today, go to insurekidsnow.gov. That's insurekidsnow.gov. Families affected by disasters urgently need support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to those when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by disasters big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you. Let's get back to the music here. Bill Orcutt in the background. Man, I just had this Gillian Welch song stuck in my head, so I need to get it out into the ether here and see if that can dispel it from my consciousness.
Took a lazy turn through the red eyes. Thank you.
Akira Sakata from 2006's Tale Haike. That was Sea Chant of Ondo, with support from Jim O'Rourke on electric guitar. The album's so wild. I love it so much. Before that, Braja, Just Passing Through from 2019, and Gillian Welsh, April the 14th from the Revelator Collection. Feeling Lucky was a library equipped for moments of relaxation to all-out revelry. Lex CD's 777 might be your radio jackpot. Find out Wednesdays at 6 p.m. on WRCT. And funky, deep, psychedelic, electronic music in that. Couch Dancing with DJ Firefly. Wednesday afternoons, 3 to 5 p.m. and re-airing 5 a.m. on Mondays on WRCT Pittsburgh. The Stormy Weather, a mercurial mix from tempestuous post-punk to sunny twee pop, every Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. on WRCT. And you are listening to An Experiment with Time here on WRCT. This show airs every Saturday night at midnight. Thanks for tuning in. Getting into our final minute here, we got Bridget May Power in the background. Have a great night, folks. Take care of yourselves.
WRCT Pittsburgh, produced by the students in Contextual Practice Seminar. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily express those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
All right, so today our guest is Simona Körner. I was going to ask you to teach me how to pronounce your name correctly.
You might have pretty well.
Okay. So we met on the first day of grad school, and we became fast friends. And I wanted to invite Simona because we met up this past weekend in Princeton at a conference called Fantasies of the People. And Nick was also there. And because of that opportunity of you coming to this country, Simona and Nick came from Germany. I thought it would be really nice to be able to spend some time together, and then for Simona to be able to share their performance practice and the work they've been doing recently with field recordings with you all. One of the things that I feel really connected with you about with your practice is how research-based it is. And with research, it expands beyond reading, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of research that is about connecting with people. It's very embodied. And in your performance work, you talk about this, right? And you enact it. And I wanted you to come and be able to share that with us.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
So interesting because maybe I just... We already talked about that in the car a bit, that I have the feeling I was, like, so in a kind of way anxious to come here and talk about my practice because so much changed in the last weeks, like, politically. Mm-hmm. And not just because of, like, telling or speaking out mm-hmm. about political things, but also because I have the feeling my artistic practice needs to necessarily change through that, or I have to like regain it, and like it's like broken apart in pieces, and now I have to like somehow pick them up again and see how to deal with them or with the forms, which are somehow not so applicable anymore. At some points, I mean, at other points, yes. But so I'm really curious about speaking with you today, and also a bit like loaded. That's yeah. what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So maybe I brought some materials. Yeah. Like I thought it would be nice because I see my artistic practice very much implicated in like the practice of many others in your practice. That's why we maybe found us the first day, but also like historically embedded like in a network at some point. I brought like a recording of Louis Schulte-Zucchai, from whom you maybe already heard like the presentation, the video, I don't know. I shared a text, mm-hmm. a video of Louis, who was a scholar at my... like who was a visiting artist scholar at my university in Nuremberg, ADBK Nuremberg, and from whom I learned like a lot about sound and perception. And I found it interesting already in our entering round now, like that it's even not so clear what to talk about when we talk about sound, that it like so fast goes to music, that it mm-hmm. somehow draws back to the self. You came with recording techniques. And this somehow already reveals so much about the horizon one grew up in without even talking about identity. Mm-hmm. You don't need to talk about mm-hmm. where one specifically comes from. And it tells a lot about class, gender, implicatedness when you talk about how you listen or how you sound and how you perceive this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Luis, I brought two texts. One by Nisha Ramaya, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Which is one of my favorite poets at the moment, who writes in this book, which is called States of the Body Produced by Love, through reoriginating herself again and again in different forms of narration and through the Sanskrit language as a very sounding language, as language which takes like sound in itself very serious, or like which is implicated much more than like in European or Western languages, where you do not think a lot about like how a word is like in and of itself perceived through its sound. And here we have like a language which I cannot speak, but which she tries to mediate through, which she taught she herself in through reading a colonial book about it, like a colonial lexicon, and she tries to deal with that abstraction of her own life, with that violence, her relation to gain that language as a sound mm-hmm. practice. And I
also like
sure, please, you can watch through everything of this. I brought Simone Weil, The Iliad or the Poem of Force. These two things will also be very present in the text I read, and maybe it's a good, like, giving a short introduction to it is a good thing, because it's like, then you maybe can deal better with a very abstract text I wrote. Simone Weil was an organized anti-fascist and Christian mystic, which is like a crazy combination, in like during the Nazi regime in France. And she was like, this text she wrote in 1940, and shortly after the fall of France. So it's really directly connecting with fascism, with the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. And she's looking at the Iliad as like the Greece Ur-mythos, like as the epic also as one Ur-mythos of like our lives. And she goes through force as like actually the hero or the main protagonist instead of like Iliad or Homer or whoever is in all this history embedded. And she really tries to make clear how force operates on our lives, and like through a very layered history. And I thought this is like also connecting to sound a lot, because we with sound we deal like with energy and with like matter moving, stuff like that. Yeah. I brought some stuff from different places, from which also the sounds I will share with you, field recordings, originated, so that you maybe also have like a bit of a material relation to the places. This is like from my forest at the hinterland. I don't know if we burn it because it's, but you can like give it around and smell a bit of it.
What is it?
It's the resin from a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fichte. Sorry, my English. I don't know. Yeah. And I also brought like two microphones, which a partner of mine, a like collaborator, very close friend, partner, developed, which are electromagnetic microphones with which I did also record a lot and with which we can play a bit, like listening to our smartphones, for example. To a bit gain a feeling of different recording techniques and how actually these recording techniques can guide us through space, for example, and make like our perception can be like a technological perception of our body, and guide us in moving through space differently, for example. Yeah, and these are like two things with which you can play them like an instrument, because they're just basically magnets embedded in them.
So one thought we had was to play some of this recording.
Yeah.
So Simona brought this album, which is from Louis Chude, Soke, and it's the...
Thank you.
the sounds are like from recordings on ground.
Right.
And I don't know if Lewis has spoken in the words on ground. I can imagine it would make sense, but I don't know that.
Right, okay.
Like the other side of the LP is really like I think then the singular artists and what they have done. For example, a Kurdish person has been there, who has been voicing in the place very much. And I think it's really according to. You can really see that these sound practices differ from different. Like cultural needs, also how these persons, it made sense that this Kurdish person engages with voice in that space, for example, others with like a synthesizer. Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting, I don't know like how much you already talked about the history of recording techniques, for example, but that like one of the first uses before like there was radio as a transmitting system and like shortly after the microphone was invented, like one of the first things was in Europe to put like telephone lines from the theaters to households. Mm-hmm. So first it was just the king, but King Louis, I think it was like, Sonnenkönig. And then it was like a thing that it went into many private households and you could like have an abonnement. Pay like 2-3 euros or whatever to be able to have like a direct connection to the theater. So live transmitting was one of the first questions that immediately arrived with like having microphones on a larger scale
for listening.
Yeah,
to the film, the audio of the film.
Just the audio of the theater play, even before film, you know. And one of the interesting effects has been that the audience is like as loudly transmitted as as the theater, because these microphones were not very sensitive. So this must have been like there are written things about the experience of listeners of that time who also enjoyed that a lot, actually. Because also theater rooms haven't been as silent as ours right now. That came just with Wagner. This audience relation that you should be silent in a theater.
Did the sound come?
People would also gather for doing this together. Like when one person had this telephone, like there are like a lot of pictures.
Pass it around.
And it's like a very female thing also. That they would gather as like 5 to 10 persons and sit there on their couches. I mean, obviously, Bildungsbürgertum, like bourgeois, but
ladies of leisure.
Yeah, exactly. To be on track, what's the new theater piece without going there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm interested in like knowing you were earlier talking about how sound recording was a part of colonial regimes. I wonder how like. Video and image and documentation for sure, painting, all of that. But sound recording, in what ways do you think? Is that super interesting to hear?
So I also know it just from Lewis, so I'm I can just voice recording actually. Voice and ritual recording was a lot of like ritual music, rhythm recording. It was just like the producing the colonial archive on a large scale. I think this went through all media which have been invented at that time. And Lewis also said like when he was there that it was always like when black people started to use, for example, recording techniques, especially with their voice, there was like a huge fear around that, because it was always about the fear of the object striking back, like the colonial subject, which was the object, striking back, and that there's this relation in language that as soon as like colonized people have reached in the colonial frame some state of personhood, white people would try to claim the same state of personhood for a technology, which is insane. because the object relation always changes when the slave or the colonized tries to get out of it.
Mm.
It's crazy, yeah, how our language shapes around technology, and also how we talk about AI today, something what Louis says, is like so related to basically using the same language we had with slavery.
Yeah.
Slavery and connected with the same affect and fears. And okay, just as a brief introduction, I would like, I have two prints of this text I'm going to read after the listening session. It's a bit like, get yourself in a comfortable position. It's like a bit of a thing. It's field recordings I made in the last year. And especially connecting like infrastructures, which I became interested in, which surround like our lives, through like energy systems, like wind power plants, that electricity transforming thing, like rural education or uneducation, vernacular terms, not very directly, but yeah, I don't know, just like relax. Try to listen with your whole body. We also realized that the sound really activates the room. Try to listen to the room and what the sound does to this room. So we transport like different spaces in this room. Thank you. Strahlen, to beam, radiate, und Rauschen, to noise, rush. Begin with sleep. Touch your limbs, feel their skin, but not as yours. Color will come back to the world when you eat, she said. My fingers. I leave out the words now, which shouldn't be in the script, but you can read them. Collapse on me like I love you, but reversed. Sleeping. Through the window, white church tower bright against doom sky. Strahlt in meine Augen. Your eyes hurt from all the scrolling in the night. Thumbs up for someone. Her voice harmonizing with the air siren in Ukraine went viral. IRL, the same sound sirens simultaneously into my bedroom. German E57, 101 decibels on 30 meters. She singing to the possibility of her immediate death in real time. And IRL, the same sound sirens simultaneously into my bedroom. German E57, 101 decibels, on 30 meters, a call for firefighters. Death on the highway. Begin with two sirens. Shh, who has a bird is split horizontally, in two halves. Human torso, lower body, bird. She, who captivates the eye, haunting voice. She who creates the persuasive act, sweet speech. And we know all things that come to pass upon the fruitful earth begin with his body tied down to the masts of the ship, a phallic gesture indeed, fearing the siren's call. His listening has to be repressive. Protect me from what I want, Lol, or face disorientation, cry. To the point of no return, between Greek islands, sharp cliffs. What happens when a space between two things collapses? The poet wonders, the lover explores, the artist needs death as a limit. But you realize that war wants death as horizon, each to everyone, on repeat, try and survive the fucking peace. Begin with sitting in your kitchen. They said the thought of eating came to her when she was tired of tears. White calendar against blue wall, titled Abolition is a Love Language, tells me to begin with March 30, 2018. Great March of Return. Peaceful protests at Gaza border every Friday, 1.5 years, the call for return forms the need to arrive. To be able to move or to move back does not address the past. One can be forcibly displaced, but one cannot be forced to disconnect to what happens when the space between two things collapses. Like I love you. And you can call me Province. My pronouns are a hyper-regional act. She. Pulsating borders against my skin. Middle class. I feel heterosexual. But when I say heterosexuality, know that I mean the erotics of imbalance. Heterosexuals don't have closets. They just leave their shit strewn about the room, all on display. Hey, I'm speaking to you. Can you address me? A world that seems irreparably out of reach, the poet asks. And you obviously say no. And remember when you read this sentence. We are dispossessed by the knowledge of each other's address. Or it's disorienting to know where you are. By Nisha Ramaya. In a meadow, a field polluted, you are polluted, we pollution, and you polluting, looted, looting, a parody of betrayal. Tinnitus. Can you separate sensation from imagination? Begin with a place where time does not hurt, or put your body where your mouth is. Thirst cased down at the edge of her lips. We sleep in a real estate office, spooning and snuggling, simply because it keeps us warm and evacuated from our own fantasy.
Having grown up in this musical household, my dad was a cellist for the Philadelphia Opera Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get free tickets for these daytime shows during the week that were part of an education program for the city schools, the public schools in the city, where they would bring kids into the spaces to watch the dress rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew, like, my dad was part of the performance and I could be back in the green room and, like, goofing off
mm-hmm.
after the show, I could also hear all of the performers react to how the kids were behaving in the space,
mm-hmm.
which was so boisterous, and there was talking and there was hooting and hollering and real reactions to funny things that happened, or, like, you know, of course, in tragic opera there's lots of stuff that happens,
yeah.
but the kids would react in these, like, visceral, loud,
yeah.
boisterous ways, and the people who were performing in the opera loved it. They were their favorite performances because they were actually getting something from, like, the call and response, right?